going on right the moment.
Are you?
Recording? Are you recording?
Yes.
Why not? We have just as long, huh?
No, we have not.
Lisa has been happier.
Because I haven't had to record it.
That's right. I didn't have to. This is happening. You know, it's one of those things. It's just not happening. The wind is blowing like crazy. You can see the haze of the blowing dust. Garbage. We are making our way to Albuquerque on a Sunday afternoon to catch a plane in the early morning tomorrow, going to follow what Matt calls the Joseph Smith Trail. We're trailing Joseph Smith all over Greensboro. We're not going all the way to Vermont.
No.
We are tailing.
We're starting it tomorrow.
Joseph Smith, the mystic.
Oh, Lord. Why are you saying like that?
Why not?
He's not a mystic.
Sure he is. He's mystical. He hears voices. He sees angels. He does all the things that a mystic would do. He hears things nobody else hears.
I don't know. He hears things that other people heard.
Well, yeah, but he triggered most of it. But not typically. Usually it was just Joseph Smith, and maybe one other person had these amazing manifestations. So it was usually just him. So yeah, people were talking about other ways that people can look at Joseph Smith. Because I'm sorry, Christians, especially, Protestants, really have a problem with prophets. They don't like them.
Yeah?
If somebody says they're a prophet, you know, every single Christian just starts dumping on.
Well, it's time to pick up the stones.
You can't do that. You can't be like that. You know, the Bible's a closed book. And you go, evidence that that's so. You guys just didn't want to hear from anybody anymore. I was listening to something, but I got to remember who it was. Oh, they were going, I think it was like Scripture Central or something. And their thing was that there was plenty of, there was things written by early church fathers, not our church, the early Christian church. You know, like, I don't remember anything. Wonderful. I'm so scintillating, I know. I will obviously convert many, many people to my cause for my extensive footnoting.
And eloquent,
yeah. And ability to drop names. Anyway, so there were plenty of early Christian leaders who spoke of many of the concepts that many Christians today say that's garbage. Nobody's ever thought that. I don't know where you thought that garbage of. Joseph Smith was a whack job. Basically, I'm sorry, I'm paraphrasing wildly. And anyway, but they had come back and they had talked about like the whole concept of exaltation. Several of the early church fathers, apparently this was a thing because several of them talked about it. And that was doctrine at the time. You know, a lot of the Nicene Creed, a lot of those councils that were held were really settling controversy. They were crushing down concepts that powerful people just didn't want to have to deal with. That's sad. Because, Joseph Smith was this amazing mystic. And of course, Christians by nature will say, well, that's garbage. But, New Agey people who I would consider to be seekers today, most of them don't really have to put much stock in Christianity for various reasons. But the church appeals to them because of its interesting mysticism. Yeah. And Joseph Smith really was this guy that was saying things that they'd never heard and saying it with that spiritual confirmation. And people went, oh my gosh. I guess it came from Joseph Smith's time where it really wasn't people trying to. And gosh, I got a bunch of worse books out there. People weren't really trying to find truth, they were trying to find a leader who gave them truth. You know, which I think is very much not a thing today. Now people want to find their own truth, you know? I think Christianity's dying because one of its major tenets was the charismatic leader. And I guess Joseph had that too. He was somewhat charismatic. But I think people were following him primarily because of the experiences that he had that were just so singular and unique and
And I'm sure they could feel the spirit in them, even though they may not have identified with that spirit. But they liked it more.
Right. Well, they liked him.
Okay.
And they wanted more than him.
I heard that he was very charismatic.
Well, yeah, I heard that too. Of course, a lot of Christianity is battles between different charismatic leaders, right? This guy starts this mega church, and he gets thousands of people to follow him. And it's like, why should I follow you as opposed to that charismatic guy over there? And they really can't tell you anything except that they're closer or proximate. I think our Legacy Church is starting to put holes in that, you know. I don't know where Legacy Church is really broadcast from. I bet you $10 it's Oklahoma City. I don't mean to be rude, but let me tell you, man. All charismatic Christianity is in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, or Norman, or Tulsa, or someplace in Oklahoma. It's amazing. Joseph would have fit in better if he would have bunked down in the middle of America. But Joseph had people moving around. He was a he was a great community.
Yes, he was.
The community of Christ tries to kind of glom onto that. But
they're not him.
that's just their problem. They don't have a charismatic leader. In fact, I think their tendency is to really downplay Joseph Smith.
Which is really, really sad.
And you just have to, yeah, which is true. That's sad because that was really a good chunk of church history was the charismatic mystic that Joseph Smith was.
Thank you for letting me come over. Thank you. Now you can speed up the program. Appreciate it.
Oh.
It was very, very tricky.
Oh. And I think one of the things is that maybe we could encourage a little bit more is a conversion to, God, I don't want to downplay Jesus Christ any level, but a conversion to also Joseph Smith as, you know, kind of like the whole Muhammad thing for Islam.
If you are not converted to Joseph Smith being a prophet of God,
you're going to want a prophet.
Yes. Yes, you can't say, I know that the Book of Mormon is true, and then say, but I don't know about that Joseph Smith. And I have people tell me that on my mission, and it's like, I can't help you until you find out for yourself that Joseph Smith is a prophet of God.
Yeah. Now, that's how I got my first testimony. Of Joseph Smith was through the Book of Mormon.
Me too.
So I didn't keep them separate, and I think I'm concerned sometimes that maybe that's starting to become a trend now that we don't do.
I think at one point we were all about Joseph Smith, Joseph Smith, Joseph Smith, and people were saying, oh, they worship Joseph Smith and not Jesus Christ, so they didn't want to have anything. Yes. Let's not talk about Joseph Smith. Let's talk about Jesus Christ, which is good. I'm not saying that's bad in any way.
Yeah.
But it's also important to know that Joseph Smith was his prophet. You know?
Absolutely.
I don't worship Joseph Smith any more than I worship Moses or Isaiah or any of those other guys. Working hard.
But I think one of our troubles is we swung so hard toward just talk about Jesus.
I know.
Is that now we are just in a basic contest trying to out, I always say out Christians. And you go, we've already got so much more than they do. They just go off possible. I don't believe that. You go, fine. You find out for yourself the Book of Mormon's true, that Joseph Smith was a prophet, says, and then you've got what you need to say, you know what? The Baptists are nice folks. But I'm not going to follow them because they hate Joseph Smith.
Yeah.
They can't stand the Book of Mormon.
Yeah.
It says, so make up your mind what's really important to you. What you have had spiritual experiences with, and that will carry you through when somebody waves the CES letter in front of your face.
Yeah.
Or these ex-Mormons tell you that, you know, you need to walk away from that Mormon stuff and just be a good Christian.
Well,
you'll need to want
it that. Seems like every sacrament,
yeah,
well, I can't speak sacrament meaning, is about Jesus Christ. That's good.
That's a good point, thing.
But it always seems to be on the same thing. It's like, how long can we talk about this one topic?
Yeah. last general conference was every single person speaking, practically, bringing their best Easter sermon. You know, and they're going, that's great, guys, but you know what? It's definitely repetitive. But, you know, I do honor the fact that you have this great testimony, Jesus Christ, and what he did. This is, and that is your calling, to be a witness of Jesus Christ. So I don't have a problem with that, except to say, it did. It was like, okay, I think I've heard.
Trying to go up the hill.
Different renditions of the Holy Big Bang Theory.
Well, you know, like, it's about the atonement of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And the atonement is really important.
Oh, yes.
But the thing is that I have found someone who actually understands every single thing about the atonement. And so I'm hearing the same thing over and over again. Because there's only so much information out there unless you're receiving personal revelation. And a lot of the times when you receive that personal revelation, you don't want to just go out there and spew it forth to whoever. You're going to have to get over on the other side, dude. I'm sorry. I know you're very courteous and let me get over here, but you just need to go around me. And I know you're going uphill against the wind. Really hard for you. You can do it. It's like the little red engine, you know, the train. You know, I think I can. I know I can. Go. Yay! He did it. Okay. Now back to what I was talking about. Okay, so
somebody brought up the American Easter story. I don't think very many people did.
Certainly. I think one did. Anyway,
because that's something that ties this all together.
Yes,
so
it does.
It's not just
Jesus.
It's also Jesus, Book of Mormon, Joseph Smith.
We could be talking about the fact that he's the God of the Old Testament. He gave us the Ten Commandments. Why can't we talk about the Ten Commandments? We're told that we're supposed to be perfect, even as he's perfect and our Father in heaven is perfect. So how do we do that? We become like him. So can we talk about the characteristics of Jesus Christ so that we can say, oh, you know what? I haven't thought about Jesus Christ. I'm doing really crappy at that. You know, but if we don't ever bring it up and talk about it, how are you supposed to be thinking, oh, I need to work on that. I need to improve. This is my point, you know. We're talking same thing. It's like, great, but every now and then, can we go to something else about Jesus Christ? You know?
You sound like the typical Christian liturgy. We have a slight variation on it, but it is. It's just, you know, but see, Christians are tough because most Christians don't really do much in the Old Testament. Those are cute stories that you teach the kids in Bible school class.
You try
to keep them out of parents' way. Well, they're all sitting there doing this constant round of the New Testament.
When we're talking about Easter, why don't we focus on the fact that he came to the Americas after his resurrection?
Yeah.
We don't focus on that.
That's amazing. When I read the what Jesus did in the New Testament, and then when I read about Jesus Christ and what he did when he came over here, I've always called it kind of the inspired Reader's Digest version, you know? It condenses it down to a little bitty thing, and it says, if there's the most important things you need to be able to pull from what Jesus said, that's the marvelous thing about the Book of Mormon is, you look at what Jesus concentrated on, what he taught about, basically, everything in 3rd Nephi from chapter 11 on, which isn't very much, it's only like 22 chapters. Anyway, but It's all in there. And I've always appreciated that as kind of a way to decide what was really the most important things to consider.
One of the questions today is,
what
is the pattern that Jesus Christ used when he was teaching the people?
I'm saying, no idea.
And it's like,
what
kind of a question is that?
What, did Jesus always use the same?
And I said, you know what?
Method to do it.
And everybody was quiet. Nobody was saying anything.
Yeah.
And I finally said, you know what? I don't know about patterns. I don't see patterns very well. They have to be pointed out to me. I said, but I do recognize the fact that there were times when Jesus had been in huge crowds and he was just touched out. Tons of people around him, you know, close quarters, and he would go off into the mountain, not just to be alone away from those people, but to pray to Heavenly Father. And there were times when he knew he was going to be around big crowds, and he would go up into the mountain to pray to Heavenly Father, so that in preparation to teach these
coping.
People,
maybe it was a coping thing.
I said, you know, when we're off to do service or minister to other people or to give a lesson or get to talk in church or whatever we're doing, we need to be like Jesus Christ and go and pray. Pray to have him with us, to help us to be doing the things that he would have us be doing, saying the things that we need to say. So do we talk about this in sacrament? Anyway, it's frustrating for me, but, you know, I'm not in charge, and I don't think the bishop is in charge either. And I'll tell you why I think this.
You're going to get marching orders?
Yes.
Like the area president or something?
Like President Best.
Oh, let's talk about names.
I blew it. I'm so sorry. I wasn't thinking.
Sorry, guys.
Anyway, sorry.
Okay.
Anyway, they said that when I asked for the themes for sacrament meeting, that they wait for him to give them the themes. Now maybe he is getting them from somewhere else, higher up.
I was down.
You know? I don't know who comes up with the themes, but I know I only get them every so many months. So, but there's so many other things about Jesus Christ we could be talking about. You know? How often do we talk about the fact that he was the creator? But he was there in the priest and said, I'll go and I'll do it. Did he know what he was getting into when he said, I'll go and do it because I love my father and I'll do whatever he wants me to do? Did he even consider, can I do this? I want to do it. I want to please my father. I want him, you know, to have the things that he needs, and I'm willing to go and do it, but, gee, can I really do this? Can I? I don't know. But he was committed.
Yeah. And I think that's basically what it is. And I think that's something we can take away from that we can do. You know, people say, oh, he was perfect. He never sinned. And you're going, is that really true, or is that just what we've always taught ourselves? Like this whole guy is about saying, oh, he is the master teacher. And he goes, did he have to be? You guys all say that. You guys have all picked apart everything that was ever said about him or by him that was written down. And you're going, I don't know, he was really all that amazing of a teacher. I'm not saying, you know, I'm not sitting here trying to quibble, except to say, I said, I think we need to be a little bit careful about deifying aspects of him. This is, he is a God, but you know what? We don't have a freaking clue what being a God requires. So we don't know what godly attributes we should be looking for. You know? Is that evil? Is that bad? I don't know. But it's always been like, well, he was the perfect teacher. And you go, you know what, I'm sorry, it comes from the same thing that says that God is the best tennis player in the universe. And you're going, I don't think he has to be. Is that important? You know? And you go, that's why it always brings me back to think about trust. He said, I think the essential characteristic of God and Christ is the fact that you could fully put your trust in them. What they've said they're going to do, they will do. Jesus Christ did it. He said he was going to do this. He said he was going to make it possible for us to be resurrected. He said he was going to do the atonement because we had fallen so that we could develop, get better, perfect. Yeah. Yeah, and it's not really even being perfect.
So that we could repent and live with our Father again. But also to give us an enabling power to deal with everyday life.
You know what?
And when we talk about the atonement, we never bring up the enabling power of the atonement. It's all about overcoming sin and death.
Yeah. Well, I think it comes back to that whole thing of what is this really supposed to be accomplishing in us? You know, the whole thing about repentance and the atonement is to give us time to change and become whatever it is we're supposed to become, which is not clear at all.
And why can't we talk about temples? Temples are where we bind ourselves to God, to our covenant, and become more holy like he is holy, more pure like he is pure. So why can't we talk about temples? It's connected to Christ. The whole endowment session is about Christ in his atonement.
And I don't know if they haven't stopped emphasizing that, saying, you know, we can talk about the covenants we make. You know, it says now, we don't want you showing off signs and, benefits. Tokens and signs you shouldn't just be flashing everywhere. Because those are things that God uses to know that you've been to the temple and that you've made those covenants. I am really in our slow reading of the Dennis Prager commentaries.
Uh-huh.
I'm really impressed by the practicality and the pragmatism of Jehovah.
Which we don't talk about, but it's a characteristic of Jesus Christ.
Well, yeah. And I think it's actually still there.
Oh.
Now, I struggle sometimes because it's like so, okay, for instance, this whole discussion thing that we have been trying to do for a long time, and they're still working it, it's like, that's good, is really good for us in inculcating what we are learning, not really what some the theologian is saying, you know? I like how Bruce Porter kind of goes in that direction in the first place. He says, don't believe me. Go and dig in this thing yourself.
Yeah, go.
And come and figure out. You know, he says, I might get this wrong. I might be totally off base. You know? And it's like, because the most important thing is not who you list to obey. Especially now that we don't have Joseph Smith with us. You know, to say, here's our prophet. Boy, he is amazing. God gives him so much stuff all the time. Some of the most amazing pieces of information Joseph Smith got was in like 1831. It was within months of the church being started. It was in, you know, and it's like, wow, he just got a flood there at the beginning. Now, he was still getting stuff later on, but it seemed to just build on stuff that he had gotten earlier.
Yeah.
And that's kind of amazing, too. Anyway. So, yeah, I think we, I think one of our problems is that we really hang our hats on the fact that Jesus walked on water.
Well, he did.
The story's there.
Yes.
You know.
There was a story of a guy who, you know, died and came back. He shared his story being on the other side. And one of the things, before he even met up with anyone, he was in this beautiful this meadow, and they had a gorgeous lake. And he went to the lake, and there was, like, fish in the lake. And he thought about the fact that, you know, if he really was dead and he didn't have a body, could he swim in the water? You know? So he went. He stepped up to the thing and he was walking on top of the water, and he said, Why can't I go down and feel the water, you know, like on earth? And when he thought that, he went down. And so he realized that it was his thoughts that were keeping him walking on the water. And is that what Christ was able to do? Use his mind with, you know, with matter? I don't know how it works. Anyway. And then Peter, how did Peter do it? Just his faith?
And he saw the Savior doing it, he could do it too.
Sure.
And the Savior said, come on now. You know?
And he trusted him. Okay, you want me to come out of the boat? Sure.
That whole thing about trusting him. It keeps popping up. I think trust is the godly attribute.
I don't know.
Is that,
I say charity, you know, if you have not charity. So,
yeah, but what on earth does that mean?
If you don't have that pure level of Christ,
what does that
you're
mean?
You're not even gonna inherit the kingdom of heaven.
No. No.
What does charity mean?
Yeah. And when you say pure love of Christ, you go, I'm sorry, that doesn't explain it. What is that pure love of Christ? And the whole secret, oh, well, it's charity. You go, no, now you've totally lost
me. You've gone it around.
Yeah, because just being circular about this makes me nuts. It's like, I don't know. It says, because I often see Jesus acting and working and doing what he does. And let me tell you, any independent observer would look and say, he's a mean mother.
But he's not.
He's very strict and particular.
Yes.
Especially about commandments.
Yes.
And people get very upset because they figure that love should exempt them from that.
If you're not being obedient, which is why we came down here to see if we could obey all the things that we commanded to
do. I think that is the key to this life and doing well in this life.
But we don't talk about obedience, sir.
Oh, no, because it really doesn't, people don't, it gets in the way of modern conceptions of love, is this obedience thing. If this, which basically, our whole world says, if you love me, you would make me keep your commandments.
Yeah.
Because they're too hard, or because I don't like them, or because, it doesn't let me do what I really want. You go, so this is, we all repeat these scripture snippets like they're incantations, and everybody sighs. He goes, oh yes, that's it. And you're going, number one, I don't think we know what that means. And number two, it doesn't mean the same thing to every person. So it's confusing. It gets in the way of becoming a Zion people, which is one heart and one mind. You go, we aren't one heart and one mind at all. This is even when we're talking about the same, what we think of the same things. It says we often are not. That's where it comes the whole thing. It's all about unconditional love. He loves us so much.
He does.
And it says, guess what? He didn't ever put it into those terms. It wasn't his love for you that made him do his atonement. It was obedience to his Father. It says, so I don't know where you're pulling out of your hat this whole thing about, it's all about love. And you go, it says, I don't know if the translation of the scriptures that we have, I don't know if those guys just decide to use love, love, love in that situation, and that's what everybody just glommed on to. And you're going, because Jesus said that the two commandments were
That's
not what I'm getting to.
Sorry.
The law and the prophets. He said this was not new. He said this is just what the law and the prophets are based on, is these rules. It says it's basically the Ten Commandments. The first four or five are basically our relationship with God.
Yes.
And then the other ones are a relationship with other people. And you go, that's, I think, what Jesus was basically saying. I don't have this concept of love, 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 because, they go, well, it's an expansion of it. You go, maybe. But we don't know what love means. Love is this weird term that really, that the new people have reinterpreted again and again and again and again.
When we get to Santa Rosa, Philip Mascaras?
Sure. Okay. As always.
Where do you want to go? Down to...
Wherever she... I don't know which place that is.
Dave?
Usually, it isn't that big of a thing that it's going to, make a dollar's difference. 364 is a pretty good price. It could be a little cheaper down also, but they were always just going up against the clear, which I think was just had lower prices. And it's kind of an enticement to get you to come and get into the habit of coming for store.
Yeah.
And I think they stopped doing that. I think it now has been the same price everybody else does. Anyway, I'm sorry.
Me too. Sorry.
Getting off the whole thing, I know it's just what we need to do to get job done. Anyway. So, yeah, I says, I don't tend to glom on to the concept of love particularly. Because I don't think Jesus did. I think he made
a couple of statements. Because he said to love one another as I love you and stuff like that. Lights on for safety.
But I think that's one of those cases that he was talking to his apostles and he was talking about the kind of relationship they were supposed to have among themselves. As I have loved you, Peter, James, John, all the others, you know, love one another. James, love Peter. Peter, love John.
Peter, love Matthew. Come on.
Yes, I'm sorry.
Yeah, he was a tax collector, but love him anyway.
I don't want to get on to people that just make these wild generalizations about everything. I think in the Book of Mormon, when it said basically the statement of like unto us, I think that was Mormon telling the people, I wrote this because this would be useful to you. Therefore, put yourself in this circumstance and see how it goes. If you turn on God, he will let your enemies destroy you. You know, if you stay close to God, wonderful things will happen, including a 200-year period of so much peace and prosperity that they didn't even bother talking about it because it was so boring as a literary device, I suppose. So, yeah, I still come back to those things to say, please proceed carefully with this stuff. It really looks like the biggest thing about the Ten Commandments is don't take advantage of your neighbor. You know, don't steal from him, don't lie about him, don't covet his stuff, because it's... you're going to end up either stealing from him or killing him to get his things, you know. And everybody goes, well, that's really low. And they go, yeah, yeah. He says, but, he says, what was Jesus asking for you to do more? He was very specific. He said, in the past I told you that you were supposed to love your neighbor and hate your enemy.
Do you want me to go that way because we're going to head that way anyway?
No, we're not. We're heading that way. 54, not 84. I love you.
I don't know.
You're fine.
You can drive after.
Do you want me to take over after that?
Yeah, since you know where you're going and I don't.
Sorry. Well, then we'll just keep this recording going since we already got chewed up. Which is fine.
I don't understand why we're recording it then.
No, it's just, well, we can't re-record what we already tried to do. It never happened. We can never revisit it, so it's just over. What it is now is that I'm not going to put it someplace where it's really easy to access. Now it's going to go someplace that's just going to be the things I talk about when I'm on the road.
Look at all these trucks parked because of the wind.
You think it's because of that?
Oh, yeah.
It was windy. It's windy, windy. I'm sorry. I think those Tesla trucks are stupid looking. And I don't see how they're really all that useful because, bed in the back is just, there's no space. Okay. Well, you can keep talking.
I don't have
anything to say by myself.
What? You don't have anything to say by myself? Come on, me. You can do it. Do it.
It's hot out there. Ugh. Okay, so I guess we're still recording. And I'm grateful that we're joining. Sorry. Oh, but there went the recording. Okay. A number saying that it's still recording. Maybe because it needs to hear a voice. I am so sorry. All this time I thought it wasn't recording. My bad. Okay. I'm grateful that we're doing this. Going to Albuquerque first. Hold on. It stopped recording when I opened the door because everything went black. But I think it is still recording.
Okay.
After I set the
light. Here's your stuff.
Water between my feet.
Okay. They're talking, there we go. Yay, okay, we're back.
Sorry, my bad. I thought it wasn't recording, so I stopped talking. Hey, they're putting an electric bell. I am today, three times now.
Three?
Yeah, but I'm grateful that we're going to Albuquerque today so that we're not trying to leave like at 1 o'clock there for 4 o'clock to get our plane for 6 o'clock. I'm grateful that we're doing this, even though I felt... Why do you think one of the things that Christ wanted us to do was to keep the Sabbath day holy? That was one of his commandments.
Apparently it's a big one because the brethren have brought it up several times. Even when somebody said, what's our biggest problem? The prophet said, we're not keeping the Sabbath day holy.
Yeah.
It's popped up on a lot of occasions.
And, I mean, we just got gas. But, does anybody inside the store need to do anything when they're pumping your gas?
No, it's on the
band. Yeah, that's what I figured. Did they have to press buttons and stuff like that? And unless you're wanting to receive, the stupid machine won't be there to see if you're going inside the gas.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know where we're going, so I'm not sure it's too. I don't have a problem when it comes to trusting God, okay?
That's fine.
I have a problem with trusting in the arm of flesh, even praying in your way.
Got it. That's fine. You don't have to trust me. But you're just going to have a much harder life if you don't let me drive occasionally, because you're going to be just...
Well, why do you think I'm letting you drive?
See, we got a 364 that we set
up. Oh, yeah. That's cheaper. Good job.
Maybe
gosh,
$4.
$4.
Right, it's $4. $3.99. Only a tenth of a cent off of $4.
Oh, it's a tenth of a cent that saves you. It is. And that's why they didn't mark it $4. They marked it $3.99. So there you go.
There you go.
Then, feeling good because, okay, on Friday. Probably late Friday afternoon, I started to do the bug that
gave me... Doing a doctor's practice. I don't think he's doing doctoring himself anymore.
4:07! Oh my gosh, Becky! PC for gas, so I expect it's going to be bigger than me. Yeah, I'm wondering. It's okay, how do we get the ball from here?
That's why I'm here to help you. You don't mind getting my help.
No.
I just don't want to share your burden that's in your
head. I don't know. I'm sharing it, aren't I?
It's only 35. Don't get crazy. In fact, I'm going over the speed limit.
I feel you. Really soon here. Bonus.
Yeah? Okay. We've been here, but I just never put two and two together.
Other side of the river, that's why they go to
the hospital.
Yeah, that's why they go to the first summer.
So, anyway. I need to get an address. I think it's on 7th Street, but I'm not sure. And it's like, that would be cool if I could get some good tasting bread for them. That would be worth it. I'd be like, get a whole bunch of registration for me.
Sure.
I think one of the aspects that really makes the whole situation more difficult for him is that modern bread, it's made to go through a spicer better, modern bread is.
Still be there when we try to get back.
That was the point. the sad thing about the Sac River, at least you may have to talk to people doing the Sac. Because as we have broken up all those roles, oh my gosh, I didn't know how much bread those roles were going to produce.
It
was definitely five loaves, two fishes, because we had five rolls, and boy, did we have bread to spare. After it was over, it was like they weren't even dented. But let me tell you, they're going to be mad.
They just take get to go whoosh, and then flip it under, and then it's done. That's how they close up the mud bag. But for the rice cake, oh my goodness, they have to sit there and pinch it and make sure it's closed. The pick lock.
I'll do it. I'll come clean up. I'm sorry.
people ask her to do on a regular basis.
And it's like,
and it's like really,
when you're praying,
what we're going to be doing is we probably need to.
I said, perfectly fine what you do in your personal prayers, but when you're praying for a group, you're not addressing the group. You're praying to have the group for the group.
And it's not here to air your personal blessings or your personal problems.
Yeah.
So those are personal prayers. So yeah, these are definitely, we're speaking for the group. And it's,
yeah. And so when you pray for the group, you say, we thank you. We thank you. And then finish. Not say thank you. Talking to the Heavenly Father, so in the name of Jesus Christ, they have to catch everything. If he is right, it can pray.
Is that his name, Keegan?
Keegan.
Pardon. I go, there's another kid named Keegan.
Yeah, I think it's his brother.
she had plagiarized the form, which were a bit of tougher material, and it could get dumped on, something like that. We were going to mess up a beautiful dress, which we were in church. And we had to wear I called them play dresses, but we weren't allowed to get into our shorts. Finding play dresses and play clothes for the boys. What would be a play clothes for the boys in shorts? We didn't have that issue in that group. It's all terrible. And our friends were not allowed to come home from plants. They were not allowed to go anywhere else from plants. We could play in the backyard on our own swing bed in our own yard. And we could play in the house if we wanted to. But we were allowed to go anywhere else. Because that would be disturbing to the world. We used to have the big meals of the week, and we could pop roasted the potatoes and carrots. On Sunday, until my mom had a pre-society lesson one Sunday about making the Sunday meal
simple.
And she immediately, the following Sunday, she made the announcement that Sunday, this is the last time we're going to do this, and Sunday, have this big fun for us. We're going to make sandwiches, and I'm not going to make everybody sandwiches. I'll put out the stuff, and you can make your own sandwich. Because that's the
direction.
Yeah!
I'm always trying to get you to go the day of rest. I just could never get you to do it. I love you, Lady Pink.
And, you know, I had that book about making simple meals for the Sabbath. And it was a cookbook supposedly of simple meals for the Sabbath. And they were all so full of busy work. And it's like, how much of this can I do Saturday? And hardly of it, any of it. It's all, oh, you gotta do this and this, and then it goes to the oven, and you gotta do it for this amount of time. It's like, I'm at church for 3 hours. How am I supposed to pull that out in 15 minutes? You know? And it's not a helpful book at all. It was desperate to put it out. Because I thought it would be helpful to make some more simple meals. Not simple meals at all.
Well, what they did the other day, they were really extreme.
The burritos were good, until so I couldn't eat flour and tortillas anymore. Because gluten-free tortillas are nasty. It sticks to the walls of the wall. It's horrible. Of course, the potatoes. way we do our family council.
Saving any money, getting two good summer, I'm going to send the heck out of my presents. This is a lot of
don't know what's giving them that
light. Yeah, it's just like giving lots of light. They're covered with love, sweet being there. And the locals love the fact that I'm not good at bargaining for a good price and I'm not a bargain person.
You don't haggle.
Oh, man. So, they also, I don't know where they picked up how important it is for them to turn it around. They do say don't go into specifics, but, you know, it's like, of course there's everybody that says, oh, it's okay, we're not perfect here. But it's always interesting to know, and it's real, I guess it's visceral intent of caring, that don't see those guys a lot. And I hope you'll stay here. Perception thing. We really haven't had people join the church that, except for old time stock. You know, the people who I tend to describe as is true, but is that they seem to come for some other reason, you know, instead of whatever the war or the branch has been about. And they just tend to kind of come, they stay for a while, but they wander off. It's like, my mission. We didn't really have to talk to the guys about wearing white shirts and ties. Once they joined the church, they got a white shirt and tie. I don't know if there's some weird, you know, the Mormon mafia that would just show up at their house one day and say, here's your white shirt, here's your coat, wear it and live. It's like, oh, I don't know. I have no idea. You know, I was just a missionary. It's my job is to teach people these discussions and then, resolve their concerns. I didn't ever resolve people's concerns. Give me the opportunity to get baptized again. Literally easier by the fact that half the time people are their family and their grandparents and everybody else around them are also having the same thing. They're just the last hole in the city or something. I got sent to Utah. Besides, I had to be decent. They don't make much, you know, it's all right. I really get this huge impression that, at least my experience here at TQ2, the only experience I've gotten from this stuff, is that, A, you're typing or not, really isn't that big of a deal. And it's like, that's really so cool.
Yeah,